August 5th, 2024, Board of Equalization at 2:45, followed by Board of Commissioners at 3 p.m.
We are good. Okay, let's call the Board of Equalization to order. Let's stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Should we call roll, please?
Scott.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Bob.
Here.
Troy.
Here.
Marty.
Yep.
Okay, we got first up, we have the consent agenda items. We have the approval of the previous minutes from July 22nd, 2024, and the approval of the cemetery report filed July 25th, 2024 by the county assessor. So, you see the report in front of everyone here. Any questions, comments, concerns? Everything's in order, I take it, as order gets.
Is the Hale Cemetery, is that the, where's Taylor Martin? Are, is this all the cemeteries?
That's every cemetery in the county.
Well, St. Michael's isn't on here, is it?
Should be.
Yeah, it's on here.
Okay.
Back side.
Oh, sorry.
There's a back.
Oh, there we go. I stand corrected sitting here. Yep.
Okay.
I can make a motion to approve the consent agenda A and B.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion by Brian and a second by Bob on the consent agenda. Will you call roll on that, please?
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, in the new business, what we're going to do is we have A. We're going to go into a closed session to discuss the pending litigation and tax of the review of the commission cases. The Turk case is 23C087 through 23C-400 in the Liberty Place versus Dakota County. So, with that said, we're going to go into closed session.
I'll make the motion to go into closed session.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob.
Second.
Second by Troy. Call roll, please, on the closed session.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Okay, once again, we're going to go into closed session on the pending of the litigation of the tax through the Turk cases 23C-087 through 23C-400, Liberty Place versus Dakota County.
Want me to send
to approve the county attorney for the
on
B. Yeah.
To
okay.
Prepare.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I need a motion to come out of closed session.
Make a motion to come out of closed session.
Okay. We got Brian.
Second.
And we got Troy come out of closed session. Call roll on that, please.
Troy.
Yes.
Marty.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Okay, B, we have the board to approve or not to approve to have the county attorney prepare a confession of the judgment in the Turk cases 23C-087. I have a hard time getting that out. Through 23C-0400. That is the Liberty Place versus Dakota County. So I need a motion on that.
We have to leave it open. Just tell them to keep it. Just tell them to keep it down.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve to have the county attorney prepare.
Second.
Myself, Brian.
Okay. Marty.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Okay, Christy, anything? Nothing? Okay, so we have nothing on C. We're going to go to three on new business. I guess we got mail emergency business. Anything?
Nope.
Okay. Public comment. Anybody from the public would like to make a comment on anything that was discussed on the Board of Equalization? Nanya, we are adjourned, and it is...
Make a motion to adjourn.
Oh, yeah, of course he would. Why wouldn't he?
Aye.
Yeah, that, you know, 2:55, we are adjourned.
We'll go ahead and start our commissioner meeting. We've already done the Pledge of Allegiance. A current copy of the Open Meeting Acts is posted at the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll go ahead and take a roll.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Present.
Bob?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
Public comment. If anybody wanted to comment on anything that's not on today's agenda, now would be the time to mention anything you had on your mind. All right, we'll go to consent agenda items.
Gotta mark that on the calendar right now. No problem.
That's true. It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
Approval of previous meeting minutes from July 22nd. Approval of payroll claims from July 21st, 2024 to August 3rd, 2024. Approval of accounts payable claims, approval of veteran service officer quarterly meetings, our quarterly reports, April through June, 2024. I did meet with the Veterans Oversight Committee last Tuesday and had an opportunity to go through them then. He also has that paperwork here. So I've gone through everything. Everything appears to be in order.
So moved on the consent agenda items, Chair.
Second.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. New business. The board to review and award bid for the South Bluff Road Culvert Extension Homer Project. That project is down in the area of the steak shop down there, just to the south of where Rody has his truck and outfit.
Yep.
So
in between Rody and the Homer,
yep.
The village of Homer.
You bet.
And we see we got the four.
Looks like we have four bids, and we got our man here to
educate. You do exist.
I do.
I've been singing your praises a lot at meetings. You know that, right?
I hope so.
Hopefully you're not listening to the minutes, because I haven't been speaking real well of you, but that's all right.
I'm kidding.
I know you're a busy guy.
So, yes, we did get four bids. The low bid was Steve Harris Construction. The amount was $55,659.06. Everything checked out with their bid. Just basically, we're going to extend the culvert to the west. We'll make the roadway top 24 feet wide with six-foot shoulders on either side. Be cast in place, and we do have a completion date of December 1st.
December 1st?
Is it a round culvert, a square culvert box?
Yes.
But cast in place?
Originally, we wanted to do a precast box, because we didn't want to get extra right-of-way.
Yeah.
So we went with a precast box so we can make the head wall straight up and down versus angled. So that's why we had to do it cast in place.
Okay.
Again, completion date of December 1st. We have put in there that the actual rock on top of the road, Jolene's department will put the rock on, but everything else will be taken care of by the contractor.
We don't know a start time on this,
I didn't put an early or late start date, nor have I talked to the contractor about what their schedule is, but we can do so, and we'll let Jolene's.
Okay.
So our recommendation would be to award to Steve Harris Construction.
I'll make a motion on Steve Harris at $55,659.06 to do the Homer extension.
I'd second that.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Sheriff's Office to present distress warrant report showing the total amount collected on current distress warrants and the amount remaining uncollected, 77-1719.01. Board approve report and authorize the assessor to remove the property from the tax rolls. Said property recommended on the sheriff's distress warrant report to be stricken and deleted by correction. Randy, how many years have you been doing these distress warrants? Since the dawn of time. So if anybody was doing it, you're the guy to do them. So how'd it go?
Well, October 31st, we got 130 distress warrants for a value of $111,416.77. 122 of them were completely satisfied by collection. Three were paid to the county treasurer's office after that. I got three to be stricken, and the other two were sold at sheriff's sale. And it was probably $106. So I've got three to be stricken completely. One of them is not even the same period as some lot. I don't know what happened. It's disappeared since 23. And the other two are vacant lots that have gone to. The other one was one here in town, one in South Sioux that I'm sure the owners, as soon as they filed their name or when the guy left the sale, when I was over the other day, he was already talking to grab the Bobcat to come in and destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Tear it down so he could get it out there. Total collected between us, there was $111,198.36 that we collected, plus interest of $1,821.76. High Fraser collected $1,663.09. The total that we are stricken is $214.15, and the two that I sold were valued at $247.26. But our total collected then was $114,684.21.
Very good.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
So I'll make a motion to approve the report that Randy just given the board.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay, Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
You have to make a motion to authorize her to strike it.
What's that, Randy? Tell me again.
You have to have a motion for the assessor's office to strike and delete the ones.
Okay. I'll make a motion as far as the assessor's office to strike the.
It's right here.
Is it in writing there? Oh, to stricken and delete the by corrections. Okay. I see it at the end. Okay. So is that part of my motion or is that a separate motion?
Part of, they come to the same.
Okay, I'll make that part of my motion. Obviously, we've already done
that.
Okay.
Second.
I think you've already seconded it and it's already part of it.
You said you just added it, so you.
Well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Do I need to add it?
I would just make a motion right now.
Yeah.
On that part, just because we've already started with it. So make that motion and then I will second it.
Okay, I made the motion.
And I seconded.
Okay, and Brian seconded it.
Okay.
What the hell's going on
right
now?
Marty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it. Yes. Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Just need an answer. Okay. All right.
Next, on a sad and happy note, the board to accept the resignation of our county treasurer, Don Bosquet, and the board to designate an interview committee for the treasurer's position. First of all, Don, I'd like to thank you for everything that you've done for the county. Great supporter of your staff, and enjoyed working with you. Time you're here.
Thank you. I appreciate the support of the board. It was a big decision, but due to I'm going to be 66 and looking at some life changes and putting priorities in place, so it's time for me to
good for you.
Retire.
That's the happy side.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
right.
The happy side. Yeah. I've thoroughly enjoyed my stint here. I couldn't do it without Stephanie. She's taught me what I know between going to meetings and her training me. I would highly recommend Stephanie take my place. She's highly trained to do it. She did it before I came. I could do it without the girls in my office.
Mm-hmm.
We're a good team. We've accomplished a lot, and I have no doubt that they can continue to grow and accomplish even more. So it was a big decision.
I'm sure it was.
Very
I'm
good
sure
decision.
It was.
I wasn't.
We wish you all the happiness on your next adventure in life.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Yep,
you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So the second half of that then is looks like we need to come up with a committee. Is there any particular makeup of a committee?
I know you've got 45 days, and there is.
Yeah.
And Deb said she'd be willing to sit on it.
May I make a recommendation here real quick?
Yeah.
I know last time, obviously, when we, I think it was Troy and I, that interviewed X amount of people that applied for the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think since myself and Troy and Bob are moving on and not rerunning, if there is going to be a committee, okay, it should be yourself and Brian.
See how you are?
Well, I mean, I think it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you guys are, I mean, not that we wouldn't have a judgment, but, and I do like, the protocol, I know that a lot of people, a lot of different departments always just automatically go with their deputy,
mm-hmm.
okay? I mean, that's the way it's usually been. For whatever reason, when we did the treasurer last time, obviously, you know, when Bob became a commissioner, and that's what we did, because I don't know if we had to or whatever the case was, but is it a bad call that we set a committee and do the interviews, or do we just one just say, you know, guess what, Stephanie, you're the deputy, you've been around here for how many years?
Yeah. I think that's fine.
It's not recommended? Okay, all right. Well, I just know that other departments, that's usually what's happened. Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, please. Even when Phyllis passed and et cetera, I think, I don't know.
Well, whatever it is, they'd have to run anyway.
Right. No, I get it. I understand. So I understand. So anyways, that as far as the time frame of interviewing, Kim will let you know that, but I would say, do you agree, Troy?
No, yep.
I would say let Marty and Brian do the interviewing, and they can bring it to the board of what.
And it's not.
What their recommendation?
Because we have to fill it in 45 days.
45 days.
Or appoint somebody.
Yeah. Appoint somebody within the 45 days of her October.
Yeah. Within 40 days after the 11th of October.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the 45 days after that. So we have time. So we will put our committee together at our next meeting. It'll give us some time to review, make sure that we do everything properly. Do you guys have anything that you'd like to add?
Me?
Step up here. Step up front and center here.
All righty. Here I come. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm Stephanie, and I am the current deputy, and I like to throw my hat in the ring and officially apply for the position of the treasurer.
All right.
Please.
Yep.
I have been doing it for 5 years, trained on. I've trained all of these girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I am a good person for the job. I'm a good fit.
And you've worked in the department
for 13 years.
Yep.
So I think I have the knowledge and the know-how to do the job.
So I'm assuming this is what's going to happen. I think it's a safe assumption. It'll go out. You will fill out an application,
yep,
just like everybody else. Turn it into the.
But I'm throwing my hat in the ring.
Yep. Well, I'm glad that you are. But yeah, and then there'll be a cutoff time. So and then, like I said, we'll set our committee, and then they'll have their interviews. And yeah.
Yep. So, situation made known.
Okay. Looks like you have your bodyguards with you there.
Yes, I do. I couldn't do it without them. And
that's
so
true. That's very true.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for all what you guys do too. I know you guys do a great job, and you guys got a tough job behind the glass.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, so like I say, we'll go ahead and put her together, committee next meeting, and then we'll work on getting that position filled.
Thanks, Don, for everything.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All of you, thank you. All right, the board to discuss Empirical / Crystal Lake Water Project and discuss whether to proceed or not. So why don't we go ahead and have Walt come up here and give us a little overview, and then after he's done speaking, we'll go ahead and kick things around and see what everybody's thinking.
Well, just to get everybody started here, Bob knows that Bob and I met with John Brinkler from Omaha. He's the general manager of Tapio, and here he was very much in favor of doing this project. Bob also sat with me with the gentleman from Empirical, and they also think it's a great idea, and I give you guys all a letter on it. Awesome. What we're now running into, talking to John, is we have legal issues got to be resolved. And our county attorney has not participated in notifying the attorney general. So as one of the beneficiaries and owners of the property, like all you are, I wrote a letter or gave it to my attorney, and he hand-delivered it to the attorney general so things would get moving on. But since then, it was brought to my attention just this weekend that there's dirt being hauled in right in the middle of the lake bed, right next to our Register of Deeds house, and they're going to put a 30 by 40 building, and they got a builder permit right in the middle of the floodplain. I'm going to pass this around. If you look where the red is, you'll see that's right in the middle of the lake bed.
If you build it up out of the floodplain.
Well, yeah, what are we going to do? Do a bridge to it or a road?
Floating.
Or bridge. Boat.
Floating.
Okay, I'm going to pass this around. This is a miniature. You guys have all seen this that came from the state transportation department in Lincoln.
Is the green where the water's at now?
All that blue is the water, actually, all the way around. I'll pass it.
Hey, Walt, where's this 30 by 40? It's behind. Is it down in the lake bed off of which road? Where they're hauling that dirt.
You know, I think they're moving. I talked to the lady who lives with us earlier. They're hauling in from the east side down the lake bed.
I see them hauling it, but I'm just trying to figure out exactly where that is.
Yeah. Okay. If you look at the house right, it's next to the bigger lot, which is, everybody knows Deb Reed, that she's run brought my attention to it. But the Bleed South of the City has issued a building permit to build that right in the middle of a floodplain. Now, how do I know it's a floodplain? I looked it up. FEMA. Here's their floodplain, and all the blue on here, you can, with that program, you can literally put the arrow anywhere you want it, and it'll tell exactly what the elevation is, and it's 1086. And the water level, high water line, which is what is 1085.
Is it a 100-year floodplain or 500-year?
You know, I don't say on here.
Because they will not issue a builder permit in a 500 or in a 100-year floodplain, but they will in a 5.
Okay, well, it's going to be underwater when we start pumping. It'll have approximately 16 to 18 inches of water. There will be water all the way from Crystal Cove, all the way around to Martin Field, and all the wetlands, approximately 16 to 18 inches from the pictures that I saw that were out in the what's it called? But I'll pass this around because I found that interesting that the water, high water line and the floodplain is within a foot of one another. And that tells me, have we had water there recently? Yes, in 2021. And I had the engineers that are working on a road project. They come down and measure right where I told them the water was because I knew where the water was in the line. And I was 6 inches off of where the high water line was, 1085. He marked it on my lawn, which there would be water all over the top, which you see there. And that's why they shouldn't ever, and that's another issue, but they shouldn't have gotten the building permit. And I don't know who signed off on it. But
the highest water line since 1980, you could get off the inside of that culvert through the bottom of that lake bed, because in 1984, it hit that point, and it has not gotten to that point since.
Well, the Culver's is going on 77. Is anybody down?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, it's about two-thirds up in the Culver's. Mm-hmm. So we know the water.
Yeah, you can see the water. You can see the watermark.
Absolutely. And it's about two-thirds through there. And talking to the gentleman that works at Empirical, I spent some time with him today. And the amount of water that's going through there that's under pressure now, he said it's about 18 inches in diameter, full on of about roughly 120 pounds of pressure. That's a lot of water.
That's a lot of water.
And they have indicated, and Bob sat in on it, that they would take it to Rice Lake, and then we would take it from there on it. And that's where the engineering part of it comes in, and the feasibility study to look at the percolation, which is important before we get started on it, and the water testing. And the basis to get through what I call phase one or phase on it, and to move this thing along. I'm waiting to hear back from the Attorney General, but it's his obligation that he has to protect all public trust property. And
is that the question for him, Walt?
Yes, that's all in the letter, and I sent him a whole packet of all the laws. And he should know these laws. I did talk to a gentleman there that knew of that law, and but you know how the wheels turn very slowly, and yes, they're greasing. But everybody I've talked to, they think it's a fabulous idea to not waste that water, because that'd be irresponsible for us. And I would love to see some people here as the county commissioners to help us put together a letter to get a codification of who owns a lake bed. And because I'm just John Doe out in the field here that happens to be one of the millions of people that own that lake, if you will, under the, and we've got people that are right now closed off gates on it for Rotunda. They're the only ones that can use it. I don't want to get shot, so I haven't went down there. But that's got to be resolved, because all of us have the right to get on there and fish and take care of it while you're there. You don't just leave your stuff behind it. But it's got great possibilities. I was talking to the guy who's head of the Republican Party, and showed him a lot of pictures this week. I spent some time with him at the fair, and he was just amazed of the green grass and what a beautiful. But I'm going to say the feasibility and putting campers out there for the revenue. I think I've also shown you that Browns Lake, they predict, now that it's up under, that their revenue for the community, we've raised for various communities, a little over $2 million.
Yep.
And you know, you got to take that on factor. Are we going to throw that away, or are we going to do what's right for the community?
All right, thanks, Lop. All right, so I guess at this point, the county needs to decide what they want to do, or what they're going to look at, or what part they would want to have in a project.
Mm-hmm. I'll do my best to bring the board up to speed on it. Walt's correct in everything he says. We've had a lot of discussions, and we have all been involved in a lot of those discussions about the lake, or the lake and the potential water use from Empirical. You know, we've met with NRD, we've met with Empirical, we've met with an engineer. We actually have an engineer proposal here in front of the board some months ago about a rate that they would charge us. Mm-hmm. So there's a legal question that Walt talks about on the ownership of the lake bed, and I don't know if that's resolved, number one. Number two, and maybe should be number one, is we're now at the point where we as the county would need to put some money towards an engineer that could determine the water table, the levels, the flow, the this, the that. So it's all up to this point, you know, and I've told Walt, and maybe I've told all you guys before too, that you know, until we really run into a flat no, you know, I would continue to look at it. And we as a board, I mean, we're all pretty savvy aren't we, Scott?
Yeah. I mean, I know his passion, and I've said this many of times, and I get, you know, what he's going after. So
I think, anyway, just to finish, is I think we're at the point now where, regardless of the who owns a lake bed, I gotta question Walt's legal opinion on it, because if you have a, so the, he's correct, the state owns the water,
and
right?
The land they're under.
In a lake bed, right? But if I have a, and he's mentioned Rotunda, if I have a private lake or private development, that's private. You can't take the signs down, and you can't have everybody fishing on your lake. Go tell some farmer that has a lake on his property that, oh, by the way, you know, you can have somebody come and farm this, so don't put that sign up. It's all a free game. So anyway, there's that point. But back to the money part of it. So I talked to the engineer a week or 10 days ago, and I said, you know, what is our next step? What is our next step? So that would be, we would have the engineer involved with Empirical, NRD, et cetera, come up with a plan on how that would be. Well, guess what? That costs money. So the question is, you know, are we going to, do we say, okay, yes, we're going to look at it, and we're going to put X amount of money towards getting this project done, or are we not? Or is this too much for the county to handle? And so just, he thought, the engineer thought, it'd be, you know, he said you could set a limit. You could set a limit of, say, $20,000. You know, if we got that, have them come into a meeting, it's an hour or two, something like that. You know, well, there's $1,000 or there's whatever it is. And so we had that conversation. But I think that's where we're at now. And that's why I asked Marty to have it on the agenda, is because we really need to decide. We know that there's 4 to 5 million gallons a day going right to the river. How do we get that to fill up the lake? That's where we're at. So, and if you guys have any other questions on you know, flow or whatever, that's a little over my head, but because we don't even know that.
On the land ownership part of it, you know, you go down to Fremont and you look at all the gravel pits that are in the old lake, the old riverbed, where those are all dredged out and housing developments owned by private people. You go down to Bennington, a lot of their areas the same way. Almost every community that has, you know, an area like that, as they develop them, I just don't believe that the ownership of that property doesn't belong to those people that are developing and buying them houses. And until the Attorney General comes and says, well, that's not the case. Well, give me a quick answer.
If you look up the law, all lakes in Nebraska, if it's classified as a lake, belongs to the people. Now, that doesn't mean the residents of the housing project. They have every right to use.
Anybody could go out there and pitch a tent on their yard and enjoy the amenities?
As long as you pick it up and you leave. Out in the lake bed.
Yeah.
And there's also rules. As far as people say, well, they're going to walk around the stand-up talk here. The rules on the, if somebody has boat problems, let's say a heart attack, somebody on there, the law reads that there's a 10-foot arbitrarily trail around the lake to get to emergency immediately without trespassing. But it's got to be an emergency, not that you want to use the
okay.
So that's all in the law. But what I'm seeing now is the people who are paying taxes are the joining property to it, and everything I read, and I got a ton of it, and I got a lot of ton more I could leave with you, is the legal aspect of it, and the one with the divorce decree on it, two couples on it. Part of their land in the settlement was a lake bed. And guess when the appellate division of Nebraska came in, I have copies of all that. They said, no, that lake belongs, belongs to the state.
Yeah. Until somebody's sitting in a chair, the attorney general says, this is what it is. I mean, we can talk about it.
I totally agree with that because that's what I'm working on, and that's why I sent a whole packet of all the information that I've drug in front of all you people. But I'd like to have some help from the county commissioners to get a letter as a group together on it, because I'm just John Doe in here. Well, who are you?
Okay. Does that make sense? Thanks, Bob. Yeah. Bob, when you sat down with Winkler, then was he interested? Were they interested in spending any money? I know. I mean, who wouldn't like a project that would create recreation? But I mean,
they are. But like anything else. You need to have, you know, it's kind of like Empirical told us with that letter that they sent. Well, that's great that you guys want to use that water, but we need to see the plan, right? We don't have a plan. We're still in the discussion stages. Yeah. So now a plan, you can have all kinds of plans for a lot of money.
Yeah. So the two things I think of, these are my two thoughts. Number one, I mean, that's 4.5-5 million gallons of day going into there, that'd be great. And if we could get it to that lake, that'd be great. My other thought is, just got the preliminary numbers for the county today, and we, between now and the next budget, we need to figure out how to cut a minimum of $132,000 and to stay off of the mailing card, we would have to cut almost $1 million. And you know, when you have a 2% lid, you can only increase 2% over a year. I just don't, personally, I don't know where those funds are available. I mean, if there were funds available, if there are grants available, I think it's a great idea, but I don't know where the money
is. Yeah, I would like to see, you know, I talked to the gentleman from Woodbury County that did Browns Lake over there with the Mid-American. They did that project over there to fill Browns Lake. Mm-hmm. That was river water that Mid-American was using to cool equipment, but Mid-American paid for it.
Woodbury County didn't pay for it.
So, and they just pumped it right out of the river. So my fear is then, so if and Empirical was a little bit vague, I think, in their. Or if you read between the lines, you know, it didn't say that they would be doing that forever. Maybe they're looking at using
a different.
I mean, if they can
system.
Pump water all the way to the river, why can't they turn around and pump river water and back? And now it's food grade. I get that, and they might not be able to do that. However, I don't know how much it costs for 45 million gallons of water a day, but out of the river, it's probably free. If you're just pumping it in and out, I don't know. But anyway. But John Winkler, the NRD, said, you know, they're all for it, but you have to have a plan. We're just so that's kind of where we're at today. Do we spend money on this getting levels and things like that, not knowing even the answer to Walt's question on the legality of lake bed, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and the percolation too through that sand. You know, there was a time when Larry Albanicious pumped a 6-inch pump around the clock for weeks at a time, and he couldn't raise it more than 2 or 3 inches. You know, so if you put 4.5 million in there, you put 18-inch. I know that's a lot bigger line, a lot more gallons. You know, I don't know. You know, it disperses pretty quickly through that sand. There's clay under a little bit of it, but it's mostly sand.
There's too many unknowns for us to even make a decision. I mean, if you stop to think about it, I mean, you're talking, you know, the budget cut. You're talking about when you said, hey, what do we throw 20 grand at it? Well, then all of a sudden, what happens if that 20 grand's gone? Then all of a sudden, you got this investment, and then all of a sudden, it's like, where do you stop? It's almost like an open checkbook. You know, it's like, well, hell, we're already 20 grand in. What's another 20 now? You know, so it's like, where do you stop at? And ownership, I mean, there's too many unknowns. I'm sorry. I mean, that's the way, in my mind, there's too many unknowns for us to even say, you know, could we move forward with the letter? You know, probably could, to try to keep the ball rolling and try to get some answers from NRD or Empirical or whatever the case may be. But end of the day, we can't sit there and say, hey, yeah, we're going to do X amount of dollars, because I promise you that this is a six-figure project that would cost the county. Easy. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yeah, and honestly, Scott, I think that somebody like the NRD would be okay, we'll take that on and we'll do that. And I mean, that's what they do.
Right. But this is the problem when you talk about the NRD. You know, they pre-plan things years out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it ain't like we can go to them and say, they'd be like, okay, yeah, well, we'll put that on our bucket list of things to do, and it might be 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had those meetings with those people before.
I'd like to add on, you're the right idea. The NRD, I talked to another gentleman that works for me, introduced myself, you have a new person here that just come on board. But they do have funds available. But you're right, you have to have a plan. Well, the only way you get a plan is to start initiate a small portion of it on the front end, which number one is what the percolation is. Now, you're right in this, say it could dissolve in there, but guess where it's going anyway? Into our aquifer. And we obviously hope that, now we do have another 10, 5 million gallons of water right next door if we need to put in 10 million gallons a day into it. That's a staggered amount of water. And once the ground is saturated, it doesn't go through anymore. It takes 6 months to a year for water to get down 400 some feet. And but when you get in the sand, it's going to be quicker. But also when it goes horizontally, it doesn't go down as quickly as it does gravity going straight down. But the end result is it's all going in back into our lake bed. And it would be irresponsible if we didn't do that part to at least get it into our aquifer. Instead of sending down the road. And as far as legal end of it, I'm not at all concerned with that.
Then if you just had them dump it into Rice Lake, it's going to go back to the aquifer, right?
Pretty much. No, you may have to put another bigger tube underneath the rail tracks. That's a 24-inch tube right now. Mm-hmm. And the engineers, these are the things in the plan that we have to have, and we can't really get started on it until somebody gets paid. But he said he'd do it by the hour. I mean, as soon as we found a cutoff point, says, you know, this is not going to work, period. But, yeah, in my understanding, we would get to Rice Lake, because they did this in the past. So everything is there. The pipe is already to Rice Lake on it, and it runs right into their building, and all they got to do is a Y with gates in there to regulate the water.
Would you be comfortable spending the county's money on this project?
Pardon?
Would you be comfortable spending the county's money on this project?
I would be. I've also passed around, like I mentioned it already, that when you take $2 million for the community, that's what happened over there in Browns Lake. Why would you throw that away? Because it helps everybody in the community. And when you think of the history that lake had, with the boating end is still on the west end, that's 5,000 feet long, and I've got so many pictures of activity there. There are other lakes doing it. I've got all kinds of information from Browns Lake, from Snyder's Bend, the one in Ottawa, Carter Lake. I've got a lot of data. And the gentleman at Browns Lake, he actually met with an engineer, and I have his whole study on it that explains all the process of the ground that I was going to give it to Bryce.
The thing that I'm thinking now is if the issue of who owns the ground isn't settled. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to even. So I think that needs to be settled before you decide if you're going to spend any money. Why spend $50,000 on feasibility if all of a sudden the attorney general goes back? You say you guys are all wet. This isn't the case.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I think until that issue of who owns the ground is.
It would be a tremendous asset if the group here put together a letter, and I'll be happy to give you information that I've got, but a letter from the county commissioners here, because I know the law specifically states, I already repeated, but I'll repeat it again, the article, Roman numeral 12-8, you guys can look it up, number 2, it says the county attorney shall, that is a directive, shall work with the local county commissioners or any project of benefit to the community and work with the attorney general. So we have to work together as a group to get to the attorney general. Does that make sense?
Because I'm just a little guy out here that's 80 years old, and what does he know? Mm-hmm. But we need some help for you guys to help put the letter together, because I think there's... How can you turn no when the law's already been established in 1803?
Okay, and, so if I may real quick here.
Go ahead.
Okay,
Sum it up for us.
Okay, this is the deal. So this is, it says board to discuss empirical Crystal Lake water project and discuss whether not to proceed or not. So this is, we need to, as a board right now, we need to say, I think we've established what needs to be done and the questions that we have. So are we willing to put a letter together, okay, as a board? Sheree, put a letter together on the support, and I'm assuming you want a support letter from us?
Not me. It'll go to the Attorney General.
Right. But from us to the, yes. So, I mean, are we going to put a letter together?
I would have to abstain because I live in the affected area.
Okay.
Bob, would you be considered to be in the area or not with your backyard?
I would have to probably say something.
So
I guess, you know, among Troy and myself.
Yeah.
Well, what I think, if you guys got to look at this a little differently, everybody's thinking that Crystal Lake is the pond that holds the water to evaporate and to be percolated in the ground. The number one thing is that putting the water back in our aquifer is what we're talking about. That helps everybody here. If I sold my house, would that make people happier?
If the aquifer had more water in it?
Well, why would you waste it?
No, I agree, but I've never bought a piece of property, thought about buying a piece of property based on how the aquifer lives.
No, I talked to a farmer who's got irrigation, and they say, you know what, we've got to do something about it. I worked with the EPA on water. They actually have funds available for reusing water. I've got application for a public trust grant where you can actually use part of the improvements of the lake bed, which... we the people own, and I did some calculations on that, what it would have cost the state to dredge that, and you now have approximately $4 million of what I call skin in the game for your portion of it down the road.
What was your cost on dredging that?
I did $30 on a cubic yard, but guess what? That is way low.
Yeah. How many million dollars did you come on?
I looked into doing
10 feet... 10 acres at 10 feet, and it was right at $500,000.
Yeah.
And that's when I said my fish are on their own.
What I did is there's approximately 10 lakes in Larry Reese's property there, right? And calculated there's roughly 50 acres of water. If you take and calculate that at 9 foot deep, I just want 9 foot deep, take off a quarter for the banks on there, and then times 30, that's cubic yards, and then take it times $30 a yard, but it's more like 50. But when the end result is with the landscaping he did, the black dirt he hauled in there, and trees, and everybody that looked at us, my God, how many campers could you put in there? You already got water out there, there's a fire hydrant, you could put some water lines in, and just have a tank to where you come in. There's accesses on both ends on it. But I think it'd be a tremendous boom for the community. And if we fall short, the water's still going into our aquifer. That's my whole point. Mm-hmm. And we'd be irresponsible if we just said, you know what, I don't care.
Nobody said that.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, that's what you get on the other side of the fence.
Yeah. Well, thank you. All right, let these guys figure it out.
All right.
Well, regardless of a letter or not, first of all, Walt, I want to tell you, I get your passion, and I know you've put countless hours in this. But at the end of the day, yeah, we could write a letter and support whatever the case may be, okay, get on board. But end of the day, when it comes to spending money, you know, our budget, as, you know, Chair says... I don't know where we could come up as a county to invest the money into engineering. And you're talking a lot of different entities that have a lot of money, you know, the NRD, the Empirical, you know. And I just don't think the county is in a situation to throw money at something like that. And I get it. Can you compare Browns Lake to what you got going on out there? Somewhat, you can. Browns Lake is, you know, that's a massive deal over there, you know. And if they're talking $2 million, I don't know what Cramper Lake's done. I don't think it's as big, as successful as what everybody thinks it is. I don't know, or was going to be. But anyways, my point is hats off to you if you want to keep working on it. I really don't think that the county, I'm speaking for myself, and if the board wants to jump on board, I don't think that we are in any position to invest the money, even if we did write a letter, you know, if a support letter to the state.
Let me add to that. So everybody knows here, we the people have the opportunity to sue our attorney general. I have every intention on it because I got a 100% chance of winning that case here because it's the right thing to do, and the law is the law is the law. Talked to Chris numerous times on it, and he agrees 100%. I talked to Setzer, she agrees 100% the law is what it is, but they want to hear from the godfather, and I understand that. And I know that if I went down to Lincoln and talked to John Winkler, I know we'd get some funds to help us on even the feasibility study, because it's their responsibility for the water. That's the Papio Water Rights. It's their responsibility to salvage every gallon you can reusing that water, because it's very precious.
So you're telling me your source is John Winkler?
That's one of the main ones, yes.
Okay.
But now I was going to tell you on the value of what we have to offer. There's public grants. That in that public grant it says if you have done repairing or to improvements on it, you can use as your skin in the game, if you will. And this is down the road, but nothing's going to happen until you have a plan. And to have a plan, it's got to incorporate the engineer on the front end. But it's piecemealed out by the hour, so I think you talked about a cap on it, because you got to put a cap someplace.
He was just using a dollar amount.
I know that. But in other words, if you just had the water test and it failed, you're done. You know what I'm saying? What'd that cost you? Okay. But the percolation thing, they've got to do test holes out there and get that so they know where they're at, and then they can start to put together. I have already got pictures of all the tubes that go underneath the lake bed to move the water down to it. I've got a tremendous lot of stuff to help him out for his time. And I'm just pro bono here, guys, but my heart is in it because I grew up there, and I think it's a fabulous idea to help the community because I see it happening. McCook Lake, I'm a neighbor that got crapped on with this flood on here.
Right.
But I talked to Scott Gerken, and their lake is 10 foot above the river. They were pumping that much water. So is it feasible? Yes. But I want my engineer to do it on our lake to make sure. But if you can keep it 10 foot above, you can do it. And I don't know what.
If they would have just built that plan at the other end of the lake, we'd have been a lot easier, wouldn't it?
What's that?
If they'd have just built that empirically at the other end of the lake, it would have worked out.
You know, it's all gravity, you guys, and I don't understand the value of that in itself. Mid-America is paying for two pumps over there because it's about a mile that they're pumping this water. And ours is gravity. They're gravity right now, and you said their main pipe that comes out the clear water is about 18 inches in diameter, full bore force center, about 20, and they're pushing it from there all the way to the river without any more pumps. And so all we're going to do is get to Rice Lake, and it's home free.
You think if you put it in Rice Lake, it'll work its way back there?
Can it just?
Absolutely. Now, Rice Lake is about 1,000 feet long. Yeah, off the graph I did that.
So do you think the water that in Rice Lake, do you think it runs across into the river to the north, or do you think it runs backwards?
No, it goes under the railroad tracks. There's 24-inch tracks, and on the other side, there's also a very big sand.
No, I'm just talking about the water that flows underneath the ground. No, I'm talking about the water that flows underneath the ground.
Yeah.
If it goes in Rice Lake, it's going to head out to the north under South Sioux back into the river.
When you're pumping into it, onto the lake bed, it'll go both directions.
Okay.
And these are some elevations that they got to get to mark, each direction. But I know the water from about
Mark Galvanicius, I know it all flows west because I watched the carp going that direction, and they, most of them got back to the pond.
Bob, you have something to say?
Nope.
Okay.
Troy? I'm going to abstain anyway, Scott.
Yeah. Brian? Troy?
I myself, I wouldn't want to put any of the county's money at this. There's just too many ifs. And
good. Obviously, you're in a position as well as such a job. Okay. So do we need to make a motion on this?
No, it's just discuss.
It's just discussion. It's just
discussion. All right. Anybody got anything to add?
I told you what I thought, and I don't know what these other two gentlemen's thoughts are. Are you guys, if we should do a letter, or if a letter is a waste of time because of the fact that we don't have any money to, you know, if we did get the next step. I personally think that John Winkler, the NRD, the empirical people are the people that you need to go after. That's just my opinion, Walt. I mean, we can sit here and discuss this all night long.
And I have one more thing going on here. You guys seen the article of paper? Why are people paying taxes on property that belongs to the state of Nebraska or us? I'm talking about the adjoining property on here. That's got to be addressed. Period. Where are the county here? It's
but they're doing it all across the state of Nebraska.
Everybody, there's taxes being paid everywhere.
No.
On lake beds.
Yeah, and there's lots of lake beds down by Fremont.
All of them is the same law.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So all of these places all across the state of Nebraska, these people are paying taxes that live in these old oxbows.
That belongs to the people?
Yeah.
Okay, show me those things and I'll contradict them. Just show me them.
No, that's what I'm saying. People are paying taxes on them. You say they shouldn't be paying taxes on them because they don't own them.
That's right. Do you believe that or not?
No.
Okay, what are you backing it up with?
Okay. Anything else on that?
I have nothing else.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't have nothing else. Not even sorry. I don't have nothing else.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, let's head up to old business and miscellaneous. Jolene, Highway Superintendent, Road Report.
Jolene, how you doing?
Good.
I missed your call. I didn't mean to. Sorry. You get it.
I can't remember what it was about anymore.
It's been so long ago.
There might be a sticky note on my desk somewhere. We had 294.5 hours maintaining, 56 hours on tree removal, about 28 hours doing some work around the North Brook Bridge, which is now open. We opened that up this morning.
Nice.
All right.
Yep. 4 hours on a culvert on South Bluff, 95 hours hauling gravel. Called 187.39 tons into the yard and 990.45 tons. I said that backwards. 187.39 tons out to the roads and 990.45 tons into the yard. 22 hours assigning and barricading and 20 hours going over weed notices and contacts with landowners. A couple of concerns for grading on the roads.
Who does Scott answer to? I want to know right now. Is that his name, Scott, the weed guy?
Oh.
Who does he answer to? And I don't have a problem with talking to him. He's called me. He wanted to meet with Brian and I on something. And then he sent me a text today, this afternoon, before I walked in, that he has a thistle problem. And he wanted to talk to me about it. And I don't know. I'm not a thistle
expert.
Well,
he's going for training tomorrow.
I mean, I'm just wondering who he responds to.
I would have to look at his job description.
Okay.
Usually the weed superintendent would report to the board. But I don't know. I can't remember what his job description is.
I'm just wondering.
He's got three people who have really bad thistle infestations, and they're not really acting on them. So he's going to training this week. I told him to tomorrow. Right. Tuesday is for new superintendents who've done it 3 years and less, and then Wednesday and Thursday is the rest of the state weed board or weed superintendents. So I said to discuss with them, see how they approach things, what their game plans are, and I think this training this week will be a lot of knowledge for them to kind of figure out
other people do it. And then,
I mean, he has been calling the state a lot on everything. You know, that
guy's she's very thorough and he's doing his job.
Very thorough, very black and white. I would have to look back in his job description to see.
And then one other thing, as far as you're saying, the trees from Highway 20 down Elgin, okay, back to Fred Kellogg days, we got the bobcat that trims the trees and this and that. If you met a car, you're going to be running through trees. And I've asked Fred Kellogg, I've asked Lance, by fall, if he doesn't have them trimmed down, I'm going to go out there with the chainsaw, and I'm going to whack them all down, and they can deal with them in the ditch. I've asked several times.
We are on.
Say that again. I want to get that on tape.
I don't care.
It's on tape.
Yeah, you can listen to it, but I'm going to drop them all in the ditch.
I promise. So we are on Old Highway 20 between Elgin Avenue and New 20.
No. Old 20 North, where it's the blacktop, you know, by sunset, sunrise, Cayman, whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, if you meet, trees are hanging all out in the road. So, and I've asked Lance about it. If they don't get it done, I'm dropping them all in the ditch. I already got my son lined up, and I got a couple chainsaws.
So, Scott, the weed superintendent, been doing a lot of trimming back on trees. He's been doing a lot of that stuff.
Did they get north of the four way up Lyberg back towards the Boy Scout Ranch? I know I had talked to Lance about that. Do you know if they got out that way?
Mm-hmm. No, but I'll check on that.
Yeah.
So Elgin from Old
Not
Highway
Elgin.
North.
Oh, okay.
No, him.
Yeah.
I'm making my notes.
Yeah.
Old Highway 20 North.
I had talked to John Olson. He just said when two semis meet, now it's getting pretty difficult. The road trees are coming in.
Well, yeah, with all this rain and everything.
Yeah.
These trees
this is crazy this year.
Yeah.
Well, this year, I think from all the rain, the bushes and just trees and everything, everything is crazy. I mean, grown very well.
Right.
But anyways.
I will agree 100% with that.
Well, thank you for doing that, seeing if you'll do that.
Okay. One other thing. I did get an email from Jeff Dooley. He's the representative for the Lackawanna project, the paving project. And he said Cray and Huff would be willing to work on the easements for $2,500, and they just need permission to move forward. So as we talked at last meeting, Kim does not have time to do that. So
and that's they have people that do that. They've worked with them before.
Yep. Okay. So I will let them know.
What do you guys think? I'm fine with that.
That's fine.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else?
No. Not for me. Thank you.
So somebody was asking me about the garbage on 220th and M, off to the side of the road there.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's our tree pile. That's our tree pile. We take stuff there, and then when we get so much, we burn it. There are people who do dump trash there.
Oh, yeah.
We do have signs up about that, but who knows who's doing it.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Okay. Next question is, how long do you think it'd take to get a proposal ready so we could bid the projects on like M and 260th?
Oh, okay. I'm glad you brought that up.
Because we have
Did
to.
Did you see that email I sent you?
Which one?
Just this morning.
Oh no, I haven't been home today.
Okay, so I did reach out to an engineer to see how other counties have done this. Because just to go out and say, here's 6 miles of roads, we want the trees cut back, the ditch clean, but then you got to worry about the signs and the culverts and the gravel and who's responsible for this and that. The engineer said they could go out and look at the roads, get everything figured out, see what needs to be done, but their fee would probably be about $10,000. You could also go, instead of bid it out per mile, bid it out per
project.
But then that would take a lot of oversight from the county. So there's just really not a wonderful way how to do this.
But for that, they would set up the bid specs.
They would do everything.
Okay.
And it would be done, built the specs, built right, culverts where they need to be. So I can get a little more information from Dan if you guys are interested.
Get just a little more information, and then at our next meeting, we'll decide how we want to go forward with that part. How does that sound, Troy?
Sounds good.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Jolene, what is the schedule? What's the guys working now? What's their schedule, and when do we go to fall hours? I had somebody ask.
We are still in our summer hours, Monday through Thursday, 6 to 4:30. We usually do the fall hours whenever it works out best, depending on where we are on our projects and stuff like that. But usually mid-September.
We have to have a meeting with the union guys, so we probably should schedule a meeting, and Brian and I could get together with them and talk that over.
Because what is it normally, may I ask?
Mid-September. Whoever asked mentioned something about school. It was always around school.
Was that Dick McNair?
I don't know.
He was always worried about the school.
He's always worried about the school, but we cannot help the school. Like, if there's children, if they get stuck, there's children on a bus, we can't hook up to it, we can't do anything.
I know.
They got stuck right outside our shop.
Worried about the roads.
Yeah, I think it's just more.
And they told us, no, stay away. So, I mean, the school is irrelevant.
Well, they just want to make sure the roads are in good shape for them to go on the roads.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, if we had, Dick was always saying, oh, if they got stuck, we got to go assist. Well, we can't assist them anyway.
Yeah.
That was his point of view, so. Okay. And
all
then,
right.
Yeah, if you guys want to reach out to whoever, Dean, I think, is a union steward, and maybe Bob to set up a time to discuss the hours.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Thanks, Jolene.
Thank you, Jolene.
All right, discuss, approve, or deny projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan, ARPA. Building and grounds, discuss the option to create an exit door from DMV. Safety issues. It would be putting a door out of the backside behind their office, or where they stand at the counter.
They asked me about this years ago.
Okay.
And I know there's a lot of things happening out there with air conditioning units and et cetera. And I just remember bringing it up prior to the board and this and that and nothing. And I get it. I mean, they have no exit. You know, I understand that. I don't know. Did you look at it? How could it be done?
Yes, it can be done.
Okay. I'm sure anything can be done, but
would it go straight out towards the fire hall?
We can't go outside because there's vermiculite in this building, which is hazardous material. So
actually,
Troy and myself
look vermiculite in the block themselves for insulation.
Yep. So we can't just cut a hole.
Poured a lot of that in my.
So what's your exit plan?
Well, there are ways to cut holes for doors and get into the hallway. We'd have to cut out one of the radiant heat units and possibly move it. But there's a young lady in this room who had a great idea to move them into the old boardroom. I think it's an awesome idea.
They got a door.
They got a bathroom. They got a bathroom.
Oh.
We build them a new counter because there's a shot there. They need carpet where they're at. There's also other monies that need to be spent in that area if we keep them there.
And when you say young lady, you don't disqualify anybody in this room.
That's correct. But we have a smart young lady in this room who told me that's a great idea.
Well, the room is there and available. So,
I think we move them.
And so then, would that
a nice counter?
The room down on the other end, then for like your election stuff and stuff like that, it's a good sized room. It would probably be fine. And that room does sit empty 90% of the time. And if it would also, you know, the public could even come in on that back door for their driver's license. They might even have to come to the court.
That would have to be up to you all. Mm-hmm. If you want that just strictly for their exit, I don't know. I would imagine you would want that just for their exit.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be too loud. They wouldn't be too loud with our tenants right across the road from them there at the public defender's office. I think they'd be fine.
Yeah, I think they'll be good.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Make that happen, right?
I think we get a quote, get a counter bill.
So do we, I guess I don't know, Roddy, or you probably don't know either, are we responsible for, like, putting them in a desk there, or what do they pay for? I mean, we, or is that our...
Oh, you're talking about building the new counter?
Building their desk.
What do they do? Like, hey, we got room for you. You guys got a desk.
I think, are we required to set them up with the proper...
Yeah, I figured we was. So, yeah.
Let's get some...
We'd have to move some computer wires.
And then give them some room in there, and you can set it back and, you know, figure out the, you know, how much room they need from the north wall back. And, yeah, which they don't have much anyways right now. They don't need much, but they can have a lot of sitting... But the only problem is going to be, you just be prepared now, that you're going to have to build another wall in there, because they're going to have to come around, because there's going to be too much noise in there,
yeah,
with everybody sitting and people trying to take the exams, kind of like what they have now. They have a wall, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to put up another wall where everybody sits, and then maybe an entrance, you know, in the center or whatever the case may be.
What about a temporary wall?
Something that's going to be sound. Because I promise you that'll be a situation, but I think it's...
I think a temp wall that we just set up in sections, you know? That's what I would say.
Whatever, figure it out.
Don't they wear headsets when they take their temp?
I don't know, some do, some don't, but I'm just telling you that when they're talking to people back there, they're going to be saying, hey...
And the people that are working there too, Rodney, they got to be able to hear what they're told.
Yeah. I asked one of the employees, I said, you know, they're going to be staring right at you if that would happen, you know, if that were to happen. And she said, they do anyway. They stare right at us because they want us to see them, you know. And I'm like, well, okay, I get that.
Well, I think first things first, let's just get a game plan, you and your buildings and ground people, and try to figure it out. And
a cost analysis is what you're asking.
Yep.
You have a desk?
To put in a countertop like what they have. And then
move the computer wires over there. Just kind of get it figured out what it would cost us to do the project.
Okay. You want a temp wall or do you want a...
Let's put a wall and insulate it, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Put a wall. Yep. Okay. Door in the middle, door aside, what do you want?
I don't know. I think you can get with the guys and figure it out.
Okay.
I think...
I'd put a door on the west side, because that way your travel
straight
portion through would be straight with the back door.
Okay, right, understood. Yeah.
Ask Louie what the state's responsible for, too, for equipment. Moving computers, moving this, moving that. Maybe nothing. Louie.
No.
Yeah, just tell him this is our game plan. What funds are you guys going to take care of?
And they might say nothing. Yeah. They might say zero.
But just to have them ask, just ask.
Okay.
Thank you.
That sounds good. Thank you all.
You bet. Yeah,
appreciate it right now.
Good decision, young lady.
Very good.
Save us a lot of
room. We'll see.
we'll see. We'll tell you 10 years from now, Rodney.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Discuss and approve or deny project with money from the rescue plan. We have Chief Deputy Decker in here. He's going to wow us with a request for purchase of what do we call this thing?
Expensive.
Chief? What's the pronunciation?
Handheld ramming.
You got one of these, Brian? No, at the city? No.
Basically, it detects narcotics. It can also detect explosives, too. But instead of what we normally do now, is if we find illegal narcotics, we have to take them out and put them in a test bag and break capsules. And this will read right through plastic bags. It'll read through glass. We've had three exposures in the time I've been here. I think we've had two in the last...
With fentanyl?
Fentanyl. One within the last 2 or 3 weeks. One of our jailers went temporarily blind. So the more we see this stuff, and fentanyl's being more and more around, it's a safe alternative to having to put hands on this stuff. So... It's not cheap, I understand.
Where would the piece of equipment be kept?
At the sheriff's office. We'd use it at the jail and the deputy on the road.
And if somebody was on the road, they just send somebody to grab it.
Yeah. It's small. It's not huge. But like I said, it's nice because it's a presumptive test. So just like our drug test kits.
What does presumptive mean?
Presumptive means that tells you what it thinks it is.
Yeah.
So
it's still got to go, if you're going to prosecute,
still
it's still got
to
go to
the lab. The difference being that if it's already in a package, I don't need to take it out of that package to test it. So fentanyl, the worry is always that it could be airborne when you take it out and inhale, and this prevents that, I guess.
So. Are there a lot of agencies starting to get this type of equipment, or it's just...
They've been around for quite a while. I think, you know, obviously I probably wouldn't even ask if it wasn't ARPA-related funds. You know, it's just one of those things that it probably pays for itself over the three exposures we've had. I mean, I don't know what it costs to go to the emergency room now, but I'm sure it's not cheap. So, you know, all of them went to the emergency room that had been exposed, so...
They have Narcan in the jail, I'm sure.
We all have Narcan.
Everybody carries Narcan. So, all of us.
Yeah.
What do you guys do in South Sioux, Brian?
What they're doing now. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Taking it out.
And it's the type of deal, too, where, I mean, it should also work with it. South Sioux has something.
Very neutral.
You don't know what the hell you're getting into, so it sucks. It'd be nice to have it.
I think the added benefit of it is it will detect explosives. It's got a huge library, meaning it can do just more than one thing. So it'll do explosives, too. So bag, you don't know what it is, briefcase, let's say, you could use it on that as well. Do we really need to call the bomb squad?
It looks like in the bid it had a 3-year warranty and on-site training here.
Yep, on-site training.
You think the city of South Sioux going to have with us on it?
You're the politician, so...
I've never claimed to be a politician.
Politician with a chainsaw.
Yeah, with a chainsaw. Oh, you're not a politician. You're a lumberjack.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if we did do that,
then where's it going to be?
I understand that, but I'm just saying. Listen. We all work together. I mean, if we decide to pick this thing up and they have a situation,
absolutely,
and they know it, guess what? Come pick it up. Figure it out. I'm just being a wise ass when I said it.
And it's just like everything else.
Will they take a tip away if we buy this and they can use
it? Maybe get some tips over.
Just like everything else, 2 years from now, you know, a lot of more departments in the Midwest will have them, just like the flock cameras. Yeah. Now, you know, in 2 years, everybody...
how much money do we have in the
flock cameras?
We're going to get her whittled down at the rate we're going, but there's money in there. I don't know, maybe
anything
five,
else
6, 7,000. Then we're going to start paying the engineer.
Or ARPA.
Like you want out of that.
I like the idea. I think it's very... What'd you say, Bob?
There is one other thing I'd like, but it's a little cheaper, but... Bob asked if there's anything else I had.
Not another gun safe.
Not a gun safe.
I like the idea because, like I said, I know that, you know, I know a few of the deputies that's been taking the trips to up to the hospital, and I think it's, you know, for $35,000, and like I said, it's ARPA money, and I think it's safe. And listening to Brian, you know, I know you guys, there's so much crazy shit out there anymore. And
it seems like every day there's something new.
Right.
They just
make
it more powerful and more powerful.
But if we get it, we just got to make sure that everybody understands that if they have a concern or whatever, they need to use it.
Yeah.
If it's taking a trip back here or somebody taking it out to them or whatever the case may be. You know, because we don't want to spend $35,000, then all of a sudden, you know, and I know things happen, but then taking a trip to the hospital because, well, I didn't have it with me or... Yeah. You follow me?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say we do have quite a bit of technology with the sheriff's office compared to other agencies. We have fingerprint scanners. We keep it at the sheriff's office, and the guys, when they need it, they come back and they get it, and they go out and run fingerprints around the side of the road and tell them people are lying.
Yeah,
I mean, we do have quite a bit of technology, especially between South Sioux and us, and even though we don't like them, we get along with South Sioux.
So you guys love each other.
Unfortunately, you're in an area where you need a lot. You need a lot of tools.
We always stick up for our little brothers and sisters.
I love it. That's awesome.
I'm not a law enforcement officer this time. I'm a commissioner right now. I'm now going to vote no on this. Because of the height joke there.
Hey, listen. Hold on a second. I'll bet you a pop right now that he will vote yes or he'll second it. But I'll make a motion on the 35,282.40 to
second.
To purchase that for the sheriff's department and to be safer than what they are. Yeah.
That's
well money spent.
Look at this too, because something we probably should have in the city as well.
Tim, I think there's an old saying about when Brown comes to town, but I don't think we'll finish out on
the money.
Okay, Marty?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brian?
I guess so, yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
All right, Commissioner Committee reports.
I have none, sir.
I have none at this time.
The only thing I have, a question, I guess. So we got a new maintenance guy, new guy,
yep.
And he is at the jail.
Yes. He is, I talked to Chris about it this week. It worked out better to have him as a building and grounds employee. A building and ground employee rather than a jail employee, just with their salary structure and what he was being paid. So he's going to be part of the buildings and grounds. But Chris said, you know, he can have his office here. I'll treat him just like an employee. He is a building and ground employee.
He's just
and he will answer. He'll answer to the board, but he's going to answer to the jail. But then he'll answer the board if he has
okay. Perfect. That's all.
Just one quick question. He's not deputized, right?
No.
Okay, good. Okay.
No, he's not deputized.
Okay.
And he can't run the new machine either.
No. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay, I have the commissioner. I just met with the Veterans Oversight Committee, and I got the report, and they're very busy. He's very busy in what he does, doing a great job, and get a lot of compliments on veterans.
Thing
that he's been able to do for some veterans that haven't been able to get satisfied before, so he's doing a great job for us. All right, mail and emergency business.
Oh, we got the John deal this Saturday.
Yep, and then we got the John down there on Saturday at the dog park, free burgers. So they're also going to be paving a plastic road down there this summer.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to grind it. There's like millions of ground up garbage bags in with the
can we see it?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. They're going to pave that from the foundry down past the park. So
nice.
Yeah, always trying something. So did you have anything you wanted to say, Brian?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Aye.
No. Oh, I just had it too. One of these times.